Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
AWOL stands for absent, without leave. And I want us to look today in the book of Jonah. And I'll give you just a little bit of background, although it'll unfold in the story here a little bit. This guy named Jonah, God has his hand on, God has a purpose, a plan for his life, and God comes along with some specific instruction in regard to his life. And the gist of the story is that Jonah goes AWOL, and we'll see that. Let's start with Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, God spoke to Jonah. And you say, well, was it an audible voice? I don't know if he heard an audible voice or not, but let me tell you something. I hear him speak. And I promise you, if you're a believer, you hear him speak, and maybe you don't want to acknowledge that you hear him speak, and you try to get noise around you and in you so you don't have to acknowledge that it's him. But let me tell you something, guys, if you're listening, he's talking, and a whole lot more than people realize, and I'll tell you one of these instances in a minute. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, he says, get up, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Nineveh is where he was supposed to go. It was in one direction, and the city he went to was in a whole other direction. He says, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So he has basic instructions here, simple things. God says, Jonah, get up, go to Nineveh. This city's in trouble. There's sin in this city. They're in need. They're spiritually bankrupt. You got to go. You're the man. You go. You cry out against this city. And those were his instructions. Verse 3, but Jonah arose. Now God said arise, and Jonah arose. And wherever there's a but in the Bible, there's trouble usually. But Jonah arose to flee. Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now this is very important. It does not say that Jonah arose to flee from what God had told him to do. Jonah wanted to get out of God's presence. Because when you're in God's presence, you hear God. He speaks to you, and you've got to do something. You've got to respond. God tells Jonah, here's where you go, here's what you do. And Jonah gets up and goes completely the other direction. Not to get away from God's will for his life, but to get away from God's presence. Church is not where you find the presence of God. You can be in the presence of God anywhere. Church is the presence of God, and it's not a building, it's a people. It's not a place, it's a way of living. It's being with God's people. It's being alone, being with God. You can be in His presence anywhere. But Jonah says, I don't even want to be in His presence, and when I'm there, I hear it. I don't want to hear it. I want to do what I want to do, so he bolts. Now, let me give you a recent illustration of this. I was traveling this week. I was in California. There was a concert in the Warfield Theater in San Francisco, and I'm going to tell you what, I stood on a corner in San Francisco. And who needs a circus? Who needs a zoo? Everything known to man walked by that one corner in a two-hour period. I mean, if you can imagine it, it walked by. And I use the word it very carefully. I was in this theater backstage. They'd set up, done a sound check. And there was a guy, I'd had dinner, walking around. There's this guy I'd seen during the day who worked in this theater, a 30-something-year-old guy. And he's sitting there at a table by himself. And I finished dinner, and I walked by him, and I heard this voice inside of me say, talk to him. And of course, you know what I did immediately. I kept going. And I walked like I was going to go down the hall, and the same conversation, you think, well, don't you get over this? Doesn't this ever stop? Man, aren't you like a preacher? And when God speaks, you just obey and go? Yeah, sometimes that works out that way. But not always. So I got a few steps by, and that same voice said, kind of like, where are we going? I said, that guy right there. And I said, well, I was going to go get something. You know, you start trying to get out of his presence and start arguing, rationalize all the reasons in the world why you're not going to do what God told you to do. So finally it hit me. I thought, what, are you crazy? And I had been kind of praying. This is what makes it even more bizarre. I had been praying, God, show me who I can talk to while I got all this time. Well, I picked one out. What's wrong with him? So I go a few steps away, and then all of a sudden, and this is happening fast, really fast. These things can happen when it's going on. And I got a few steps, and all of a sudden I said, okay, I'll do it. So I did a U-turn. And I kind of made like, you know, well, I'm going to go back and get some Coke. That's what I forgot to get is a Coke. So I'm kind of improvising and stalling. I'm going to, you know, we're doing touch and goes now. You know, I didn't land the first time, so we're going to do another flyby. We go back around. And I come back around, and all of a sudden, I'm right there by him again. I said, hey, what's going on? You know, he didn't know any of this was going on. So I sat down with him at this table, and we struck up a conversation. Every once in a while, I find somebody like this. The guy's about 32 years old. His dad had died when he was a kid. His mom had died a few years earlier. He had no brothers, no sisters, no family, was from New York, lived in San Francisco, had some friends there, and didn't know jack about Jesus. He didn't even know anything about God. He didn't know anything about anything in regard to spiritual stuff. And I sat there, and I'm telling you guys, God will use these people in these situations to break it down for you and make you realize you can't just throw Christian ease out there, jargon, and think people are going to get it. They're not. And sometimes we're talking to people and they're like, yeah, whatever, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. So in the simplest terms I could put, began this conversation. I never told him I was a preacher and I still don't think he knows. You know what? You don't have to go around waving anything. Jesus is going to wave himself if anything needs to be waved. That's who they need anyway. So I talked to this guy, we got in this conversation, and I tried to spin it in such a way that we could just talk about spiritual stuff, and if it went the right direction, fine. And it did. At a certain point, it turned, and I said something like, you know, where do you think your mom is? Now, that'll open it up. And then he started telling me, well, I think that good people go to, you know, maybe to heaven, and I've done some, he said, I've really screwed up, done some terrible stuff in my life, but I think I've turned it around, and now I'm going to be okay. And we got into this whole thing about heaven being a gift and all these things. Now, he didn't become a Christian, but let me tell you something. His eyes got big. And he heard stuff he had never heard in his life. And I said, listen, I said, maybe this makes sense, maybe it doesn't. But someday, when you get in a situation and you wonder what's up, remember we talked today and what I told you, that Jesus loves you. He died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead. And he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And he wants to forgive you and give you a new hope, new future, new life, new everything if you want it. And that was it. Now, this is some guy who gets put in the Bible over this. Jonah is told to go to Nineveh, cry out against it. Their wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah arose, fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. I mean, this guy decides to run. He runs. He goes down to Joppa. This is a port. And found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And it keeps saying this over and over. His deal is he is running from the presence of the Lord, not from just doing what God wants him to do. He doesn't even want to be around God. He doesn't want to sense God. He wants to get away from God, and he'll do whatever he can to do it. So he goes to the port, gets him a ticket, gets on this ship, and goes, it says, look what it says, goes down into it. He's even trying to get it far away. He gets down inside this ship. He's trying so hard to run away from God. So he hides down in this ship. Verse 4. They go out to sea, obviously, and it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God. Now, I don't want to stretch this too far, but listen to me. If you are a Christian, and the God of the universe has put his hand on your life and said, do this or do that, and told you exactly what to do, and you go AWOL, and you go completely the other direction and will not obey, you cannot sin in a vacuum. You do not sin and disobey by yourself, because as we'll see in a minute, this whole storm, the sky broke loose on this little ship, it says, because of Jonah. And Jonah is on this boat, he is in this boat, and the storm rages, they're all about to die, and these people who are pagans start to do what? Look what it says. The mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God. They were praying, Jonah was sleeping, it says. And they threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load, but Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. Sleeping and was about to die. There's a great story in the New Testament where Jesus slept in a storm, but it ain't the same thing. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? What are you doing down here asleep? Have you lost your mind? We're about to die. We're throwing cargo overboard and you're down here asleep in the storm. Arise, call on your God. So this guy says, look, we're all up here about to die. We're calling out to our God. You got a God? Call out to your God. Get up, do something. And the whole deal was, here, pray to your God. So Jonah had gone to sleep. The captain comes down. Why are you asleep? He says, arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Maybe you've got a God that can do something about this. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. Now they're gambling. Now they're rolling the dice going, okay, let's find out who's creating this problem and why we're all about to die. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Now here are this boatload of pagans, these mariners, these seamen, and they're all looking at this guy going, you're the problem. We've cast the lots, and you're the reason we're out here in this storm about to die. What are you going to do about it? So they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? What in the world? Who are you? What do you do? Why has all this come upon us? And it's your fault. And where do you come from? And what is your country? And of what people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid. This guy's got a God who made the sea and the land, so he's got some control over this. Why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah said, let me tell you. Now Jonah is repenting all of a sudden. Now you don't have to be out in a ship. You can be anywhere. You could be at home. You could be in a bar somewhere. You could be out using drugs again. You could be sleeping with somebody you're not married to. You could be literally laying in a bed with a complete stranger and all problems, all hell breaking loose. And the person next to you say, you know, why do you have so much trouble in your life? And lay there and say, you know, it's because I'm running from the presence of the Lord. That's why I've got all this trouble in my life. They said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Now let me tell you how this translates. If you are a godly person and you are running not just from what God wants you to do, but literally from His presence, and you get out there in the world somewhere with pagans around you, your life will create havoc for their life in the same way that if you are obedient and following and doing everything God wants you to do, and you get in a situation where you're surrounded by pagans, God might bless the entire company just because you're there. But the flip side of this is, guys, if you are not in the will of God and in God's presence where you are all the time, anytime, you're going in there and you're affecting the people around you. There's going to be more chaos because God may be coming after you and it disrupts everything around you. So Jonah knew all of a sudden in verse 12, I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, now these guys have mercy. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord. Now these guys are crying out to his God, to Jonah's God. We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done it as it pleased you. Now let me give you, this may seem a little bizarre, but sometimes getting thrown out of a boat is equivalent to getting fired on a job. You could be in a job right now that God told you not to take. He told you to take that job. You took this job. You've been doing it for 6 months or 6 years, and you're out of God's will, and you know it. You sense it. You're completely out, and you did it for money, whatever it was, prestige, power. You're in the wrong job. And finally one day, it gets so bad for them and for you, there's so much chaos, God just throws your butt right out of that building. And he gets you fired and gets you out of there. You say, well, why would God do that? To preserve them somewhat. The people that you've been affecting and your disobedience, it's somewhat to protect them. But on the other hand, it's to get you where you're supposed to be. Well, why would God do that to me? I have more people say, I just don't know why God's doing all this stuff to me. I say, you know what? God isn't doing anything to you. You brought all this on yourself. That's not always that way. But guys, if you start looking at your life and thinking about what you're doing, there is a lot of junk in our lives that has nothing to do with God punishing or doing something. We bring it on ourselves. It's reaping and sowing at work. So don't be screaming out and complaining to God that he's done it. These guys are trying to figure out a way, now that Jonah's acknowledged what he's done, to not fire him, to not throw him in the ocean. Now they're praying about it. But verse 15, they're all going to die unless they do something. So they picked up Jonah. This has got to be a great scene. I mean, they're on this boat, go downstairs, find him asleep, bring him up. They're praying. They're throwing cargo overboard. And finally, they pick this guy up. Look at this. They finally pick him up, pick Jonah up, and they threw him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. They throw Jonah in the sea, and everything went calm for them, and not for Jonah. His trip's only beginning. He's going from a ship to a submarine. All right. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. You see what happened? When the right thing happened to Jonah and he got out of there, then it caused those people, they saw what had happened, it caused them to fear God exceedingly and realize, man, Jonah's God is God, because we were about to die, and when we got rid of him, the storm calmed. Now look at verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now let me say something here, very not parenthetically, but maybe one of the most important things I'll say today. Jonah was swallowed by a fish. And there are people out there that say, oh, these are just stories. These things never happen. And I don't believe, you know, it's just a story. Somebody made up to make a point. I'll tell you why, and if you want to go read this, Matthew 12, I'll tell you why I think he was swallowed by a fish, because Jesus referred to it in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 41, and compared Jonah being swallowed by a fish to Jesus being put in the ground in a grave. And I'm going to tell you what, he was put in the ground in a grave. It's not just some story. He died, was buried, and raised from the dead, and Jonah was thrown into the sea, swallowed by a fish, and was in his stomach for 3 days. You say that's not possible. Being born of a virgin is not possible either, unless God does it. Being buried and raised from the dead is not possible unless God does it. If you're going to run your life on possibilities, you're in a heap of trouble until you start saying, you know what, God, I'm in an impossible situation. Unless the power of God intervenes here, I am sunk, literally in this case. Jonah is out there in the water, and I think he's pretty much thought, you know, I'm as good as dead. It's over. And a fish that's supposed to eat you swallows you. Now, guys, this sounds good, but basically Jonah spent 3 days in lunch. That's about as far as I'm going to go with it. And this fish is lunch. Now, his life was preserved, but when you run from the presence of the Lord, God will allow things to happen. You will never want to go back. I can assure you, after 3 days in that fish's belly, he did not want to go back and spend any time there once he got out. And in Jonah chapter 2, look at verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, or the place of the dead, I cried, and you heard my voice. For you have cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surround me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. He went down to the valleys of the ocean, where the mountains under the seas were. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up, my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And I believe it happened. And out of nowhere, he's in this fish for 3 days, and he is vomited, literally spit out of this fish's mouth up on the ocean. I think if I were that fish, I'd want to get rid of Jonah too, though. Verse 3, and this is what's awesome about the Scriptures, and we won't make it through the whole thing. You may have to go home and read how it ends. But chapter 3, verse 1. Now look at this, and this ought to give you tremendous hope. God comes to Jonah, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah, told him what to do, go to Nineveh, do this. And it says, but he arose and went to Tarshish. And then chapter 3, verse 1, look at it. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. For some of you listening to this today, you've screwed up the first time, maybe there's multiple times, and you have fled or are fleeing from the presence of the Lord. You don't want to hear Him, you don't want to hear from Him, you don't want to know about Him, you don't want to do whatever you want to do. You think your way's best, and you've run. And circumstances are such that you can't run anymore. It's affecting you, it's affecting everybody around you. All hell is breaking loose around you, in you. There's no peace, there's no joy. Whatever fun there was is gone, it's over. And you find yourself in a place that literally stinks. And you say, God, how am I going to get out of here? And He preserves your life and gets you to a place where you can hear Him again. And look in verse 1 again, chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. The message didn't change, did it? And I tell you what's scary to me about this story beyond Jonah and beyond the fishermen, the mariners, is that Jonah should have gone to Nineveh immediately. And if you read the end of chapter 4, the last verse, it says that this city of Nineveh had about 120,000 people in it. The whole time that Jonah is in disobedience, his life is affected, the people on the ship's life is affected that he's around, but everybody in Nineveh, 120,000 people's lives are affected by one man and his obedience or disobedience. And the sin that they live in, they had to continue to live in. The trouble they had, they kept having, because this guy is running from God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." And look at that, guys. He didn't know what he was going to say. He said, "I'll tell you when you get there." Quit worrying about what you're going to say and worry more about whether you're going to say it, whatever he tells you to say. What if I don't know what to say? He sent the disciples out. He said, "Don't rehearse what you're going to say. I'll tell you right when you get there what you're supposed to say." It has more to do with who you are than what you're going to say anyway. Because if you say something and you're not what you're talking about, they're not going to believe you anyway. You got to be something before you'll ever do something. So Jonah arose. Big verse in the book of Jonah, 3:3. So Jonah, there are no buts in this verse 3. And if you go back to chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "But Jonah," and 3:3 says, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh." He finally obeyed according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." The whole city's going down in 40 days unless you repent. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man," this is the guy running the whole place, "let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger, and so we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it.
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We're here. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. We're here to celebrate with you, too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. Let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also send us an email through our website, richardellistalks.com. That would really make our day to know how Richard's talks have helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website richardellistalks.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every message from Richard at our website richardellistalks.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We would be so grateful for your gifts. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
One man's life. You say, "Well, what difference can I make? What difference is one solitary life?" It affected an entire city. If one person's obedience or disobedience can change the lives of 120,000 people, what can a group of hundreds do? If you'll choose to obey and do whatever it takes and go through whatever God has you go through to get you back where you're supposed to be. It may cost you a job. It may cost you a relationship. If you're in a marriage, that's not a relationship that's negotiable. and do everything you can to keep that together. But if you're dating somebody, living with somebody in a situation, sleeping with somebody you're not married to, you're in a heap of trouble, and you're affecting your life, their life, and everybody else's around you, I promise you. You cannot sin in a vacuum. And if you've gone AWOL, absent without leave, then you need to go back and sign back in and say, you know what, God, I'm back. And there's no more buts anymore. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm here, I've checked in, and I realize it's affecting me, the people I work around, the people that I live around, and literally thousands of people, any and everywhere. There is no telling what could happen if a group just like this decided to do the right thing.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.